Evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your attendance tonight. I'll ask the Chief Executive Officer to say the prayer, please, before commencing the meeting.
Thanks, Chair. Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. I'll now say acknowledgement for country. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk and Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It's a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk and Noongar country. I now formally declare this meeting of the Council of the City of Perth open, and also wish all those in the gallery best for Christmas and the New Year. Safe travelling. So, apologies. We have no apologies, Mr. CEO, since all the commissioners are here.
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. question time for the public. Are there any questions in terms of being forward to us?
Yes, Chair. There's a question on notice from Hui Zhang of One Hague Park Circle, which is quite comprehensive. Hui Zhang is not in attendance today and apologise, so I believe we should treat this as correspondence and respond accordingly.
Is there any objection from commissioners to that treatment?
No, Chair.
Deal with that accordingly. Are there any questions then from the floor of the gallery? If the answer is no, we'll move. I'll close question time then. Are there any deputations?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner. We have a request for a deputation from Aman Singh from Hague Park Action Group in relation to item 13.9, which is the final adoption of Amendment 3 to the City of Perth Local Planning Scheme number 26, and there's details of the deputation attached. We have a deputation request from Brent Fleeton from Overarch and Neil Irvine from City Foreshore Investments in relation to item 13.15, Point Fraser lease issues, and there's deputation documentation attached.
Thank you. Can we now then deal with the deputation from Mr. Aman Singh, please? Is he here to address us? No? I'll just say again, is Mr. Aman Singh here or not? Could I have your name, sir, please? Thank you.
Chair, Commissioner, we had that under item 10, which was correspondence received, but if Mr. Foti is suggesting that it's a deputation, I'll just check the correspondence.
Well, in that case, I'm still happy to have your deputation, if you wish to do it now. Forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioners. My deputation is representing the Hague Park Circle Action Group, and it's relating to the Lot 70 car park, which is also in Hague Park. I won't sort of expand on the pros and cons, because I believe that the Commissioners and the Council have been receiving submissions, communications and objections from many of the residents. I really just wanted to present as a quick summary of the concerns that the residents still have in relation to the process that has occurred. Whilst we're appreciative of the Town Planning Department and their efforts to accommodate the concerns of the residents in preparing suitable guidelines, there is still one major concern that disappointingly hasn't been included in the design guidelines, and that is to maintain the current parking facility. It is difficult to understand why there is a reluctance to accommodate the request of the residents. And the residents, of course, have two requests. One was that no development occur on that property, but if there was to be a development, then to please maintain the parking. So it's very clear what the residents prefer, and there's been a lot of communication objections over the years relating to that, and also at the various workshops that were presented. So there's a preference that the residents have and the business owners have, of course, is supported by the restrictive covenant which replaced, or covenants which replaced, on all of the lots in the Hague Park precinct. And if I can just read an extract of that restrictive covenant, and the restrictive covenant, the one that I have here, relates to 37 lots in the Hague Park precinct, and it does identify all of those lots, including lot 70. It goes on to say that the burden of the covenants contained herein shall run with the land in favour of every allotment of the subdivision, to the intent that such covenants shall bind the transferee for the benefit of the transferor and any other registered proprietor or proprietors from time to time of every allotment of the subdivision. That's the reason why the residents are very strongly of the opinion that that a restrictive covenant should be respected, and if there was to be a development for whatever reason, then the restrictive covenant on that lot refers to it being a car park to be used as car park for another use in perpetuity. So it is difficult to understand why that provision for car parking to be maintained has not been included in the guidelines. As I mentioned, there have been workshops in developing suitable guidelines that would, we presume, be acceptable should there be a development. And the initial guidelines, however, were opposed by the residents as they were too onerous and too generous to a developer. These guidelines, it was explained, were needed just in case a development proposal was lodged, and in case the MRA decided to modify or remove that restrictive covenant. So the residents went along with that. It was a safety net to have these guidelines prepared, and always with the understanding that restrictive covenant will always remain. So what appears to have evolved is a process to allow the development to occur, but not only to that, but also to not maintain the current parking facilities, and also there is a feeling that this process is leading towards a removal of the restrictive covenant. I just wanted to have the opportunity of reinforcing that, and a number of emails I've received today, which I believe the Commissioners have also received, asking the question is that why is it so hard not to accommodate the wishes of the residents when so many residents have asked for that to be accommodated. That particular lot really doesn't affect many of the other City of Perth ratepayers. It does affect the people in that precinct. Those people all had covenants on their property, so it's interlocked with all of that. So I urge the Commissioners to consider including a provision to maintain the car park. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Now I have a deputation from Brent Fleeton. Thank you. And Neil Irvin. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the Commissioners for giving this opportunity to speak this evening. Thanks also to the Chair and Commissioner Hammond for coming down to On the Point recently to talk through the issues. We've seen a marked change in how the city's been run, so we appreciate that. So you've got four recommendations tonight, starting on page 313. I'll start first with point two. So it's not exactly what we'd requested, but it's a really good progress. We just want to see maybe in the motion a specific date range as to when it will start, or if it's just going to be a date where you stipulate in 3 months from there. With regards to point three, we'd ask if you could stipulate it before the trial, what a successful trial in your mind, what does that look like? In the previous meeting where I was here asking questions about parking, the Chair pointed out it should be fit for purpose and mindful of competing neighbouring councils and also identifying its unique spot. So one of the things there also is seeing the benefits of a trial of 12 months, so you can see peak, non-peak, different seasons, different attitudes from the market. We'd also request consultation in advance of any changes there. We're grateful for the flexibility in approving point two. However, we don't want to see it arbitrarily taken away after a 3, 6, 12 month period for no reason if there's been no, at the start of it, no reasons for what a successful trial would look like. So we'll get to point one and four. I know there's been a slight wording change, but the notion behind arbitration is still there. I don't think we're there yet. I think we can still work through this. So I put it to the Commissioners if you can consider putting this off for 1 month. Decisions one and four tonight, if you could not make that decision, I think we can get there. It's an expensive option, both for the ratepayer on your side and for ours. I'll just go through a few issues on that fourth point, which is the most critical. Without the overflow parking, it seriously calls into question the nature or the ability of these eight businesses to continue operating if you're extrapolating the loss over the 25 years. You would have seen some emails recently from the manager of the newest and high-profile tenant, Embargo. That's real-world information that's coming through when he's launched. Great reaction from the market, but people driving in and driving out because the overflow bays have been closed before council's made a decision. So I don't understand where that decision was able to be made, what head of power you're able to do that before council tonight. I was really disappointed by page 317, where the Department of Transport stating they're not supporting overflow parking because hospitality events at this venue or at this location are unlikely to create a parking demand spike which can't be accommodated by existing parking facilities in the vicinity. That's wrong. You know, you need to change this with changing circumstances with a new tenant and this as a full facility. The notion that you'd park at the Wacka at night, walk down, have dinner at On the Point, have a glass of wine and walk back with your family or children is ridiculous. Looking at other councils in the area, you'd go to Subiaco. You'd get free parking on the weekend. You'd park much closer. Neil's got a fantastic restaurant. The food is better there, but you're making it very difficult for this to work during peak times, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We've also asked for reports on the environmental impact caused by overflow parking. We know this is not going to be bitumised. We don't want that bitumised. We just want these bays accessible as they are or as they have been since the start of the lease. We haven't received any information that we've asked for around why you're sticking to this point that there's environmental damage. You've got a confidential part of the agenda. Possibly it's in that. We also talked about boom gates to help stop the parking being used all the time. But people aren't going to park that far away if there are bays closer. Overflow parking, the name's in itself. I just want you to pause before making this decision on point four. We're not asking for it to be paved. We're just asking for you to look at the whole picture, the eight businesses there, the 200 employees that are there, the people that enjoy it. And I just want to go back to the lease point 14.21, where it talks about, you know, the commercial car park for a lease premise is the adequate number. The investment decision was made based on the overflow parking being in existence. You're taking that away now. We don't consider that in good faith, and we wouldn't imagine this development would be approved now with this number of bays being taken away. If you've got any questions for me, happy to answer. Otherwise, Neil might add on a few comments.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that trying to take this car park or overflow car park away, as I said, it was always going to be an overflow car park. The building would not be as big if the car parking has been reduced in the start of the project. The overflow car bay, this all come to fruition when it was all going to be then bitumised. So all of a sudden it became an environmental. So let's get some more environmental people to look at the project, work out a way how we can run the car park more environmentally friendly and fix the problem. You know, mine sites have environmental issues that they've got to deal with. You had the money in your budget to put the bitumised down. Use the money for the budget that you had then to do a new environmental study to work out how we can environmentally fix the problem. I just can't work out what the sense is. And as Brent says, no one's going to park at the WAC or at the Hyatt and then walk all the way across and then walk all the way across back at midnight. It's just not going to happen. And all I can see is if we don't fix this problem, I might as well just shut the door and leave it sit there for 5 years, because most of my tenants, and I own Beaumont and I own the bar and grill upstairs, I've had to put money into the project for that to keep going. We have another tenant, Eight on the Point, is in administration, so that's 3 out of 5 people have gone into administration. So it's a very hard work down there. We're paying rates. We're paying approximately $400,000 plus to the City of Perth in rates, leases, Swan River lease as well. And we're creating a tourism part, and we're just being really walked over. And I'm not I'm not happy about it. And there's a big investment there of $50 million. So I'd really like some help, and let's put let's work together. Let's both get an environmental people to look at it and work out a way forward, because it's shutting it down. As I said, we would never have built the complex as big as what it was to handle 3,000 to 4,000 people. We've spent $280,000 plus, and my other company, Beaumont, spent $80,000 plus in advertising to bring people to the complex. And there we are, the manager who owns Embargo had to park over at the Hyatt and walk all the way across. The other week we asked her to please open up the car bay again because it was full. Well, I drove around the car bay myself. There was 4 bays left at 4:30 in the afternoon. So people are just coming in. All my advertising I'm doing to get people to come to the place to make the place and make my tenants viable, they're wasting the time because they're driving in and driving out. So I've got no more to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Kay.
I have some questions of the administration, please,
sure.
Chair. My first question relates to the environmental issues on the overflow car park and whether the administration is able to provide an outline of the key concerns from an environmental perspective. And then the second question relates to the understanding of the use of this overflow car park and the circumstances upon which it was envisaged it would be used.
Thank you. Who wishes to answer that question?
Through the chair, I can answer the piece regarding the parking. The parking management plan that was done back in 2012 talks about the use of Zone 3 as event overflow. Since that time, the Department of Transport has provided us with documentation that they do not support the use of overflow for hospitality events at the site. And we are currently reviewing the parking management plan attached to the lease as part of that process.
Thank you. Commissioner McManus.
And this, so with event parking, that was for, occasional events or regular events, or what was envisaged in the definition of event overflow parking?
Through the chair, occasional parking, not regular.
Thank you. And my second question related to understanding around the environmental issues, that noting that there's no request for the area to have bitumen sealant, but with respect to managing the environmental impact on that area and why it is sensitive?
Through the chair, it's probably going to be a multi-directorate answer in relation to this, but it is a water-sensitive area, and it has been highlighted as a demonstration site for the management of water, in particular through a specific cell management structure. The information that we've been provided is that there would be ongoing damage to that to have it as a regular overflow area, and perhaps the Director of Construction can provide further.
Through the Chair, yes, thank you. So we have had some studies in regards to the biodiversity impact and the environmental impact as a result of usage of a car park, and that is the spillage of any vehicles there that would impact on the environment.
Thank you. Any other questions, Commissioner?
Just a question whether those studies are able to be shared.
Through the Chair, yes, of course, we can do that.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond.
Sorry. Sorry. With relation to item one on the recommendation, which relates to the mediation, does the decision to enter into mediation need to be made by the commissioners, or can that decision be either delegated or just passed to the chief executive officer to make the decision when or if a mediation was required?
Through you, Chair. My understanding is the lease provisions provide for a dispute resolution process, and the amendment in the recommendation was to enable that to proceed, and certainly the deputation tonight is asking that the matter of arbitration or mediation be deferred until we've explored all options. One of the reasons I suggested mediation or arbitration was that to me, some of it is not just an exercise of judgment. I think there's a lot more history to it, certainly a lot more legalities.
Yeah, look, through you, Chair, yeah, certainly I agree with that, CEO. What I was saying, though, is instead of having the added burden of needing to bring this to the council to seek authority, would it be feasible to delegate authority to yourself to be able to make that decision when and if it was required? Because this, by making this decision, this is sort of directing you to enter into mediation, and I think I'm reading that we probably agree that that's a bit of a last resort, but something that I don't think needs to come back to council.
Through you, Mr. Chair, I would support that suggestion. I think it's the most expeditious way to handle it.
Can I ask a question, please?
No. Sorry to be so blunt, but the answer is no. I just want to make a point. That point one says, authorise the CEO to determine whether to appoint an independent arbitrator. So it's still up to your discretion, which is Commissioner Hammond's comment.
I haven't got that as part of mine.
Well, there's been a circulated...
I didn't receive an email, and I've... Yeah, okay, thank you.
We'll give you a copy now.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
So I think that addresses your concern.
Yeah.
Any other questions on this matter? If not... I'll close the deputation format. Members on leave of absence and applications for leave of absence?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. The only point I would make is that I'd like to record my apology for the February meeting of the council. Okay. Noted. And move then to are there any other requests from commissioners? Nil. Thank you. I'll move to confirmation of minutes. Firstly, can commissioners confirm the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on the 27th of November 2018, and secondly, the agenda briefing session held on 11th of December 2018 as a true and correct record. Do I have a mover, please?
So moved.
Commissioner Hammond? Commissioner McMath, I have no objection. Declare that carried accordingly. Announcements by the Chair, Commissioner, I have none at this time. Disclosure of members' interests. Are there any commissioner or employee wish to disclose an interest in this nature? Any item contained in the agenda?
No.
So the answer is nil. Thank you. Are there any questions of which notice has been given? Mr. CEO?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. Move to correspondence. Any correspondence been received? Mr. CEO?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner. Correspondence has been received in relation to item 13.9, which is the final adoption of Amendment Number 3 to City of Perth Local Planning Scheme Number 26. It was received from Gus Kinnamont, Charles Foti and Lisa Reed. And in addition to that, we received some correspondence from Hui Zhang. And there is also confidential correspondence has been received from Deputy Lord Mayor Gemma Green in relation to item 13.16, which is a request for reimbursement of legal expenses.
Thank you. Just for the record, can that someone move it be noted, that correspondence? Commissioner McMath, I'll second that. Commissioner Hammond, you happy with that?
Yes.
Thank you. Move to petitions. Any petitions been received, Mr. CEO?
No, Chair, Commissioner.
Thank you. We now move on to matters for which the meeting may be closed. Matters for which the meeting may be closed, Mr. CEO?
Yes, Chair, Commissioner. In accordance with Section 523(2) of the Local Government Act 1995, should a commissioner wish to discuss the content of the confidential attachments in relations to item 13.4, 13.5, 13.6, 13.15 and 13.16, it is recommended that Council resolve to close the meeting to the public prior to discussion of that item.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. I just advised the gallery that if those items wish to be discussed, we will go behind closed doors if necessary. But having said that, in terms of the other recommendations within the agenda, I have a suggested on block motion here that with the exception of items 13.1, 13.3, 13.6, 13.9, 13.13, 13.14, 13.15, 13.16 and 13.18, which are to be considered separately, the officer and committee recommendations for the remaining items be adopted on by a council on block by an absolute majority decision. Just on that, Mr. CEO, the words "and committee recommend" and "committee" should be deleted. So, do I have a mover along those lines, Commissioner Hammond? Do you have a seconder for that, Commissioner McMath?
No, just to
certainly.
Chair, the item 13.15, are you proposing that that be moved on block?
No.
Except
separate.
Thank you.
That was one of the exceptions.
Thank you. I'm happy to second that.
Okay, and I'll endorse the motion so that the motion is endorsed accordingly. Now move to the first item, which is 13.1, demolition of existing dwelling, construction of 6 three-storey residential group dwellings. My understanding is Commissioner Hammond had a question on this.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to move the recommendation, however, to amend the first paragraph of the recommendation to exclude any reference to the demolition because it's been confirmed by planning staff that, that is a separate matter. So therefore the words from the application for the demolition of the existing dwelling and should be removed from the recommendation.
Well, I read it, you still have approved the application for the construction of six.
Yep.
Otherwise you're removing the whole lot at de facto.
Yes, I am. I'm moving the whole lot, yeah.
No, you are amending the words the demolition of the existing dwelling, but we retain that council approves the application for the construction of six three-storey.
Yep.
That's your intent?
Yes, indeed.
So that's what you're moving?
Yeah. That's what I'm moving, the recommendation.
Yes.
And the conditions, less those words relating to the demolition.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Seconded.
Thank you. I have no objection to that amendment. So I'll declare the amended, the motion to amend the recommendation endorsed. Now move to item 13.3, major events and festival sponsorship per fashion festival. Commissioners? Commissioner McGrath?
Oh, thank you. I don't move this motion. I'm not sure the best way of expressing this, but I'd like to move an alternate motion.
That's the way to express it.
Thank you. The alternate motion I have is to defer the consideration of this agenda item to a later meeting.
To be set?
As soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you. Do I have a seconder to that?
I second.
Okay, would you just care to speak to that? Thank you, Commissioner McGrath. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I note the paper and the recommendation to support the Perth Fashion Festival. I also note that this is a substantial investment on behalf of the city, and in light of my previous support of this for this year, I am interested in understanding in greater detail the benefit of this event and how it compares with greater time to consider it and discuss with management the impact of it given the substantial investment. I'm sorry, Chair, if I'm a little bit considered in the wording of this. I wouldn't like to give the impression that I don't support this in principle, but there has been a substantial change from the administration's recommendation this year compared to last, and it's not that I don't agree with it, it's just I don't understand what's changed and the context that's changed within. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any other comment, Commissioners?
No, thanks, Chair.
The only comment I have is I support the intent of Commissioner McMath to get a proper handle on this, and I would be seeking through the CEO that a future meeting to be set be done as soon as possible in the new year, just for the record. So the actual motion is that this matter be deferred for further consideration at a future meeting to be set through the Office of the CEO. Is you happy with that? And happy that, Commissioner. In that case, I'll take it as read that we're all in favour of that and declare it endorsed accordingly. We now move to item 13.6, which is an extension of the principal partnership between Heritage Perth and the City of Perth. Commissioners?
I'm happy to move that motion.
Thank you.
Happy to second, Chair.
Okay, I've got no objection to either or, so I'll declare the recommendation as set out in the agenda endorsed accordingly. Thank you. Now move to item 13.9, amendment number 3, Perth City Local Planning Scheme number 26, where we've had deputations in this. So, commissioners. Sorry, what are we removing?
The Town Planning Scheme Amendment.
Okay, do I have a seconder?
I'm happy to second.
Okay, I wish to speak to this. Look, I fully understand the submissions made by people concerned. I am really concerned that we're confusing two processes here. Firstly, we have a restrictive covenant, which is a civil matter between the owner of the land and the relevant people which the covenant relates to. So no development can occur without the restrictive covenant being removed, and that will require a legal process, certainly beyond the city's control. The second point I make is that we're confusing or trying to blend a decision involving guidelines, planning guidelines under the Planning Development Act, etc., and regulations with the restrictive covenant. You cannot connect the two. The current scheme does have, as my understanding, Spazinger, that has relevant provisions existing for development of the site. Is that correct?
Yes, the site can be developed if the covenant is removed. Currently, there's no guidelines controlling that development of the site.
Okay, so even without these guidelines, the owner would have to go through a process to remove the covenant before he could develop. And then if that occurred, and only if that occurred, could the city entertain, or any other planning authority, such as the Planning Commission, could entertain an application for development. So the status quo relates to even amendment to the guidelines. I also want to make the point that the planning guidelines are guidelines. They are not an issue which is set hard in concrete. In other words, they are matters to be considered in the event and if the applicant had the ability to make an application, which at the present time he does not. So they're not statutory bindings, and the applicant did have success in removing the covenant, which is highly unlikely, bearing in mind the nature of the covenant, then any planning application would have to be considered on its merits and it would be subject to any appeal, if necessary, of the city. So linking the two between the Planning Development Act and the civil action is an improper purpose according to administrative law. So on that basis, and bearing in mind that at I think last meeting I asked for the guidelines to be amended to a degree to give, where possible under the planning scheme, subject to the amendment being approved by the government, and it hasn't been approved by the government, so it's not finalised, then those considerations could be taken into account in the event that the applicant, as I said, was successful in removing the covenant. So on that basis, I find no rational planning grounds to vote against the recommendation of the staff, having outlined my reasons accordingly. So I support the recommendation. And on that basis, as all commissioners are supporting it, I declare the recommendation endorsed accordingly. But I do hope I've explained the processes to residents. There's a difference between private ownership responsibilities and the broader scheme provisions, especially as we've already had guidelines within the scheme, which, in my view, need to be changed anyway based on the submissions of residents. So I've tried to do a Solomon, cut the baby in half. So on that basis, I declare that 113.9 carried. We'll now move to the next item, which is City of Perth Alfresco Dining Law, sorry, Alfresco Dining Local Law 2009, etc. Commissioners.
Thank you, Commissioner Lunson. So I would like to move that we defer this item for further consideration at a meeting to be convened as soon as possible.
New Chair, I'd like to second that, but also in doing so, could I ask a question, please, of relevant staff?
Perhaps before you do that, we ask Commissioner McMath to speak to the motion.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The reason for deferring this is on the basis of being able to provide appropriate consideration to the independent review that was commissioned by the administration and provided and for good reasons only to the commissioners today. So I fully support us dealing with alfresco dining agenda item as soon as possible. However, we did place on the administration a very short timeline to bring this back, and I think having had only a couple of hours time to consider the report, I think it's worthy of further consideration without unduly delaying the consideration of this really important item. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner McMath. Commissioner Hammond.
Thank you, Chair. I'd first like to point out that I did not receive the review of the guidelines. So if a decision was to be made, I'd need to absent myself because I cannot make a considered decision. I did not receive the information. But in saying that, there's an inference there that because we have received the review that we would agree with it, and I don't believe that 2 hours in a day where we all had meetings anyway, I think the realities are we had probably no more than 15 or 20 minutes to look at this document that the provisions of the Act provide that we clearly need to make considered decisions and would be unable to in this regard. The question I would ask, though, is that we've got two items here. One is the alfresco dining local law, and the other item is the policy and the guidelines. Are they intrinsically linked? And is there any perceived benefit in dealing with them separately?
Thank you. That's a question to the staff. Wishes to go? You're going to toss a coin? Okay.
Through the Chair, the policy and the guidelines can be considered separately.
Thank you.
Through you, Chair, that wasn't the question I asked. I asked if the local law and the policy and the guidelines could be dealt with separately.
Through the Chair, yes, that's correct. The local law can be considered separately to the policy and guidelines.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Chair, to labour this. I know it can be considered separately. I'm asking, is there any benefit in it being considered separately, or are the two intrinsically linked?
Through the Chair, considering them separately will allow them to serve alcohol over the Christmas period. So, yes, there is some benefit to considering them separately.
Thank you.
Good. Sorry, Chair, could I ask a question then? Who is they, and can please explain more about the serving of alcohol?
Thank you.
Sorry, just going back a bit, then it used to be my directorate, but the move previous motion was to allow alcohol to be served within an alfresco area, and my understanding is that we have now updated the local law to allow that as part of this process.
Thank you. Any other questions? Commissioner Hammond?
That's the reason I raised the question. I think the we've got the two areas here, and I remember, recall at one of the briefings, that the local law, there was some benefit in getting this dealt with so as the matter of people being able to drink alcohol in alfresco areas could be delivered sooner rather than later, and the outdoor dining policy and guidelines, to which we do have concerns with, could be considered after a peer review and after we've had an opportunity to look at that peer review. So I just wonder if Commissioner McMath would consider to perhaps re-look at the situation and consider dealing with the local law this evening, however putting the matter relating to policy and guidelines, which includes fees and process, to a later time.
Thank you. Commissioner McMath.
Look, I'm very comfortable with that. I think that that's the best outcome under the circumstances. So thank you very much, Commissioner Hammond, for suggesting that pragmatic way forward. I'm happy to support it.
In the circumstances, Chair, and as a matter of process, if Councillor McMath was happy to withdraw her motion...
she would be delighted.
I will move... for the adoption of item 13.13.
And its recommendation?
Yes.
Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have no objection to that motion, so I declare the motion which endorses the officer's recommendation is endorsed. Thank you. Now move to item 13.14, I think it is.
Through you, Chair, I'd like to move that item 13.14 be deferred so as commissioners can have a reasonable opportunity to review the peer review of the guidelines, and after that has happened, that they either be considered at the next available council meeting or a special meeting of council if that is considered appropriate by yourself.
Well, it's not up to me. It's up to the majority.
I'm happy to second that motion.
So can we take it that this you're moving that this item be deferred to a future meeting of council in the new year?
Yep.
To be set by the CEO as required. Are you happy with that, Commissioner McMath?
Chair.
So I'll endorse that accordingly, so I'll declare that motion endorsed.
Mr Chair, I'm just thinking for clarity and for public purposes, would it be desirable to try and nominate that date now?
You may need to reflect on that, but as soon as possible in January. I'll leave that to your discretion. In liaison with discussion with commissioners. Thank you. We now move to item 13.15, the Point Fraser lease issues, which we've had deputations on. Commissioners?
Through you, Chair, I'm happy to move the revised officer recommendation that gives the Chief Executive the opportunity to determine the matter of arbitration, along with items 2, 3 and 4.
Do I have a seconder?
I have a question of clarification before I second. Is that appropriate, Chair?
Certainly.
With respect to item 1, the authorising the CEO to determine whether to appoint an independent arbitrator, etc., does that relate to just the lease clause 14.2, or does it also relate to the issue around the overflow car parking. Just a point of clarification.
Thank you. Officers?
Through the Chair, Lease Clause 14.2 Act 20 actually refers to the ability to appoint an arbitrator. So that's where that reference is. It can consider any number of matters. So.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Could I speak for the motion, please, Chair?
Well, let me see if there's any other questions first.
I'm happy to second it because I would like conversation around it. Thank you.
Just so I'm clear, Commissioner Hammond, I wish to have something to say on this, but what was your intent?
My intent was to speak for the motion.
Okay, go for it. Thank you.
This is a problem. It's a problem that this motion is not going to resolve. I think that's acknowledged by everybody, and that it is something that I believe that the commissioners, the administration and the proponents of the business are going to need to do a lot of work with to come up with a resolution. The parking is becoming a wicked problem. I think it needs to be acknowledged that the closure of the overflow car park is somewhat out of the city's control. And I'd be delighted if there were some solutions, environmentally, politically, or whatever, that could resolve that to create some more car parks. But the reality of the situation at this time is that that is not the case. So in moving this motion, I would see this as the commencement of a discussion and an intention by all parties to see if we can resolve this parking issue, because it seems to me that we do have a very long way to go.
Thank you, Commissioner Hammond. Commissioner McMath?
So, Commissioner Hammond, are you proposing in the recommendation that the overflow car park be decommissioned as a car park, or that be part of the CEO and possibly an independent arbiter to consider? Is that issue in that park?
No, that's not, because I'm what I'm saying is that the issue of parking generally, because there is not enough car parks, remains unresolved. We are receiving advice from the Department of Transport that the environmental constraints of that land mean that it cannot and should not be used for an overflow car park. Now, if there are some solutions to that that have been suggested by the proponents, perhaps that may be the way. What I'm saying is that on the current advice and direction we are receiving by the state government, we have no option but to decommission that car park. However, if a solution is found, as far as I can see, there is no great hurdle in recommissioning the car park. So what I'm saying is, just because it's decommissioned now, it doesn't mean that perhaps in the future there's a solution. It also might mean that there isn't. And if that's the case, there's going to need to be some other solutions developed between all the parties concerned.
Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hammond, any other comments you want to make?
No, that's all. Thank you, Chair.
I want to foreshadow, if this motion is of Commissioner Hammond's lost, a alternative motion. First of all, I note the deputation's points raised by the relevant parties. I believe recommendation one is acceptable, because as I said before, it leaves the CEO to determine whether to appoint an independent arbitrator. Doesn't say we are going to, so it's with the discretion of the CEO, which I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable with point two, approved by absolute majority of the 3-month trial, probably from a date. A question was from which date? Probably from tomorrow. In my view,
as soon as it can be implemented.
Okay, that's fine with me. And the third is that approved new car park management plan be developed. I think that's important. In terms of point four, I'm in two minds about this. At the moment, we've heard from the deputation they need the overflow car park, but I'm also concerned that the assumption that overflow car park can be a permanent option is flawed. It is flawed because, first of all, notwithstanding the lease agreement, it is actually any environmental approval would be subject to either the Department of Transport and or Department of Environmental Diversity or whatever it's called nowadays. And I would want to seek some advice on the environmental, other than what the city has. I'd like to seek some advice from either the Office of the EPA or the Department on the environmental integrity of that area, so that we know once and for all what the broader environmental implications are. I accept they are somewhere, but whether they can be managed accordingly, I don't know. But I think there needs to be some consultation in regards to that. And equally, I acknowledge, as Commissioner Hammond has pointed out, that this car parking is a vexed issue in terms of if the overflow car park has to be decommissioned in terms of its entirety or part thereof, depending on the environmental assessment and other constraints, then that needs to be addressed and accepted by the developer. We can't create something which is impossible to create. So my view is on this one, if the moved motion is unsuccessful, based on my comments, I would delete condition 4 at the moment, but add a 4 that seeks immediate advice from relevant government agencies as to the environmental integrity of the area currently known as, or currently designated as Zone 3, or was it Zone 3?
Yes.
As Zone 3. So that we not only have our own past advice, but also up-to-date advice, which may be more relevant today than was 5 or 10 years ago.
A point of order, Chair. I'm happy to amend the motion that I put forward, because I believe it has the same intent as what I was saying, and that is that we need as much information as we can in order to move towards any solutions that may be possible. However, in some cases, they may not be.
Correct. I'm trying to establish the facts.
If I could, Mr. Chair, without being involved in the debate, I just thought, for the record, it's important to note that there was, as far as I'm advised, a variation between the size of the development on the original application to what was actually completed. The original development application was for 2,200 square metres, which I understand could be accommodated with the current car park, but the final development was closer to 5,400 square metres, which has increased the demand for car park over and above what was originally envisaged.
And I'm conscious of that, but it still doesn't change the issue.
Okay.
And actually, Commissioner Hammond, with due respect, it's not a point of order, and you're actually supporting.
I know, I was asking how to do it as a process.
Oh, OK, all right. So very well manoeuvred, Commissioner Hammond.
Yeah.
I have before me a motion which has been moved and seconded. All those in favour of the motion? All those against? OK, so the motion, which is including approves the area known as overflow car park, be decommissioned as the car park is carried.
No, I didn't.
No. Listen to me. We have a motion before the floor, which was basically to include the condition 4. I spoke against that motion. I put the motion, and you and Commissioner McMath voted for the motion. Not my suggested
Could I just say something here, and that is that I actually suggested to you, Chair, that I would have been, was happy to amend. I did say this. I was happy to amend item 4 of the recommendation of my move motion to accommodate the intent of what you were saying.
So, okay, so you're telling me now you're moving that the motion that deletes condition 4?
The item 4 provides for seeking further environmental advice. And in line with what you were saying, I agreed with that. And I must repeat, I did agree that could form item 4 of that motion.
Okay, if that's your intent, I'll take that as acceptable.
And I'm happy to second that amended motion.
Okay, so we're all clear now?
Yep.
I'll put the amended motion as moved. All those in favour?
Yeah.
I'll declare it endorsed accordingly. Thank you. Now move to item... excuse me. Thank you. 1316. Commissioners.
I'm happy to move that motion.
Commissioner McMathew moving officer's recommendation, yes?
That's correct.
Commissioner Hammond?
Second.
Is there any wish to speak to that, Commissioner McMathew?
Thank you very much, Chair. I have moved the motion and support it based on the advice provided with respect to the intent for such hearings not requiring legal representation. I do have some empathy with the request. However, given the advice provided, I feel that it's appropriate to refuse that request.
Thank you. Commissioner Hammond.
Thank you, Chair. Look, I believe that the whole process of the standards panel was designed to be essentially non-legalistic, and that any move for local governments to start funding legal representation at the standards panel would create a very, very negative outcome for the local government industry per se.
Thank you. I just want to add to that. I've wrestled with this. I have empathy for the issue, but as Commissioner Hammond has outlined, certainly the standards panel is meant to be a non-legal process, and secondly, it's if a person wants to independently seek legal advice, it's their decision. It doesn't necessarily immediately mean that the city should support legal action, bearing in mind the nature of the administration of the tribunal. So on that basis, I'm afraid that on balance and having regard for our legal advice, I support the recommendation. So on that, I understand that's a unanimous decision of the commissioners to endorse the officer's recommendation on 1316. And declare it, so be it. Now move to item 1318. It's the annual report and audited financial statements for the year ended 30th of June 2018. This requires an absolute majority to be endorsed.
So
move, Commissioner Hammond. Any discussion on the recommendation? Any queries? If not, I support the recommendation as well and declare the officer's recommendation endorsed accordingly. Mr. CEO, I understand there's been no motions of which previous notice has been given received.
That's correct, Chair.
Any items of urgent business?
Not that I've been notified, Chair.
Thank you. In that instance, I once again declare all those in the gallery a good Christmas and New Year, and thank you for your attendance. I declare the meeting closed.